And this once again is Paul Rodel. And today is April 13th, but not Friday, Sunday.
14th?
It's 14th?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sunday.
Okay, April the 14th, Sunday. And we're full of thumb?
Thaw. Yeah.
Having just come back from the restaurant, and I have the business card of the restaurant. Anyway, we're just joking. I'm just joking. I should be less foolish and more serious. But I'm sitting here with Sabrina Swift.
Sabina.
That's right. I keep on confusing you with the movie that I saw on the plane with Sabina Swift, which is bad because I have a friend of mine whose wife is also Sabina. I shouldn't confuse that at all. Anyway, and Sabina was not really on the IVS list.
I was not.
Well, but as an IVS volunteer?
Yeah, I was not.
I think you, or maybe, no, you were. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I really knew more of Steve.
Yeah.
Than, yeah. Sorry about that. And want to get her story too, which overlaps. And so start off with the basic question of name and where you were born and raised and what your parents did for a living and your own kind of personal little background.
Okay.
So,
well,
let me stop talking.
Okay. My name is Sabina Fajardo Garcia Swift.
Oh.
And it's unfortunate that I was not in the list. And I guess because I was just listed, well, that happens with women being married to another person, and you know, they kind of, oh, okay. But anyway, I was born in the Philippines in 1939. That was a long time ago. And my parents, my father started as a farmer, and that was the reason I got into agriculture. I wanted to do something else after high school, and he said, well, if you're going to take up nursing in Manila, you're not going to school, so if you go to Los Baños and take agriculture, then I will find money to send you to school. And I wanted to go to school, so I said, oh, okay, I'm going to Los Baños. And that's where I got a bachelor's degree in agriculture and major in entomology. That's how I got started into this volunteer service, using my entomology background. So because my father was a farmer, and he thought he needed somebody who would know agriculture to help him out later on. I think that was the reason why he wanted me to be an agriculturist. Fortunately, after I finished my degree, I had 1 year of work with the University of the Philippines in their farm and home development program. It was like extension work, living out in the barrio with a team anyway of agriculturists also, which eventually, after that short 1 year period working in the barrio, the Operation Brotherhood people came in and wanted to recruit a team of agriculturists and home nutritionists, home technologists, to go to Laos. And so,
to Laos?
Yeah, to go to Laos. And I guess with Operation Brotherhood, yeah. And as Paul had mentioned earlier, well, Operation Brotherhood is a medical outfit anyway. But as I said, after 10 years or so of operation in Laos, operating on, you know, the local people and doing public health, giving them pills, and they realized that the Laotians won't be able to survive if after Obi leaves, because they do need something else, and they have to improve on their eating habits and improve their nutrition and all that. And that's how they incorporated bringing in a team of agriculturists and home economists to help them out. And that's
so. Let me back up and ask you a couple
okay.
questions.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to interrupt
yeah.
too frequently,
no, no.
but I just made a couple notes. Your father was a farmer.
Yeah.
What was his farming activity? Was rice, soybeans?
He was a diversified upland farmer anyway.
Okay.
He planted rice during the rainy season, upland rice farming.
Mm-hmm.
And he planted corn. This is mostly for home consumption anyway.
Okay.
And planted corn and peanuts and cassava. And then we had, of course, we had bananas and, you know, mungo beans, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a tenant farmer. I mean,
really?
Yeah, he was a tenant farmer. We didn't have, you know, land, our own land to.
He must have been very successful if he could get the money to send you off to college.
No, not really. Well, it was...
Because it's expensive.
Well, at that time, let me see, going to Los Baños, like 105, you know, in one semester, 100, uh-huh. 105 pesos.
That was
semester.
2 to 1?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
now it's, what, 26 or something, 28 to 1 or something like that now.
It was really, but that was big money then.
It was still big money. It's 2 to 1.
Big money, yeah.
Yeah.
But my mom, who had had, you know, maybe fourth grade education. She raised pigs and
uh-huh.
she raised chicken, and so we have, you know. And there are six in my family. There are six kids in my family.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know. We kind of survived.
Okay.
And, well, unfortunately, my dad died when my brother and I were both in Los Baños. My brother went there. And so when he was, he became a policeman anyway. And he was killed on duty. He was ambushed on his... And this was when I was a freshman in college. And so my brother was forced to quit school so he could, you know, get a job and, you know, take care of the family.
Right.
I'm number two in my family, okay. in my siblings.
So Kuya was
Kuya,
a little yeah. ahead of you, and
yeah.
then he had to drop out,
yeah.
became policeman.
No, he did something else, but...
Well, who was the policeman?
My father was.
Oh, your father? Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
My father
yeah, okay.
was.
All right.
Hi,
okay.
And so my brother quit school,
uh-huh.
got a job.
Uh-huh.
The company my dad, you know, worked for gave him a job. And then my brother said, well, okay, since you're, you know, you're a little bit smarter than me and and you seem to be focused and all that, why don't you just go ahead and go to school? I'll
uh-huh.
pay for your, you know,
really?
I'll send you to school. And then when you finish, you take care of the family.
Yeah.
I said, okay, fine.
Okay, so you went off to Laos.
So I finished school. That was
yeah.
easy. 4 more years to go.
Uh-huh.
So
what
I,
year did you graduate?
1960.
Okay.
So I finished in 1960. After I finished college, I told my brother, well, you know, and I got a job.
Right.
You know, you can go back to school and, you know, I'll take care of you. And then he said, well, I think I'll just, you know, get married. And he was still working at that time, but he got married a couple of years later, and I was off in Laos anyway. So that's how that all started anyway. But it was really a struggle to, you know, going to school at that time.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
your family is pretty comfortable right now, some of your brothers.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that that the background wasn't at least middle class. I mean, it's really from tenant farmer.
No. This is
very much a success story.
This is a real, you know, I always tell my friends, hey, I came from, you know, this is peasant background here. I'm a country girl.
Yeah, no, legitimately.
I'm a farmer's daughter, so.
Well, you know, many
I'm
people.
Proud of it.
Many people make the claim, and they're not.
But it's Stephen usually say, well, you had a vision for yourself, and that's how I got out. My father was into education.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he used to tell us that. I don't have anything to give you when I die, except your education. So while you are going to school, you know, you do very well. And
yeah, even my land is someone else's.
Yeah, yeah.
So the only thing I can give you is not property.
Yeah, yeah.
It's your mind.
Yeah. So it's you know, you just have to do it.
Yeah.
And that's great.
He sounds like a wonderful man.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, I guess he was. Okay, so I'm sorry to dwell on that. I mean, I actually spent a little time. It's a wonderful story, though.
So I went to Laos in 1962,
mm-hmm.
and my entire 4 years there, I went back to the Philippines only once. I went back in 64, and then in 1966, I came back to the Philippines to stay. I just quit Laos at that
point.
While I was in Laos, I did the agriculture plant protection, you know,
mm-hmm.
Bit anyway. I worked down in Paksong or Pakse anyway. I was stationed in Paksong the whole 4 years.
Paksong. Where would that be?
That was in southern Laos.
Okay.
Let me see, I can't remember the name of the province. Is that Saravan, I think? Saravan province. And because of my experience there, and also that's where I heard of the International Voluntary Services.
Okay.
Because in Pakse there were a few
IBS
volunteers anyway.
Okay. So see, 62, 64, they would have been 66, there, sure.
66. Yeah. So they were there. I think I met them maybe 66 to
mm-hmm.
65 to 66 anyway.
Yeah.
And you know how it is, expatriates in a place.
Yeah. Even if not from the same country, they're still going to get together.
They still get together, and that's how they used. The IBS volunteers used to come to Paksong, which is up in the plateau anyway, the Volubens plateau, where it's cool all year round, and I guess they would come and have parties over there with us anyway.
So. And just to get away.
Yeah. And then from there, from Laos, I went back to the Philippines.
After 4 years.
After four years.
Working in, I think I know what you were doing. Just to clarify, you were teaching nutrition or agronomy?
I was doing agriculture, plant protection.
All the plant production of different crops.
Yeah. And maybe,
mostly vegetables and
and maybe animal husbandry.
Okay. Diet diversification, basically.
Let me clarify this a little bit. The team of agriculturists in Paksong, there are five of us. One is an animal husbandry person,
uh-huh.
a man. One is a agricultural economist. Another one is a horticulturist or agronomist anyway.
Okay.
And one, an entomologist for plant protection, that's me. And then the other person is a woman. she is a home technologist. So this is a team approach. An agriculture team approach.
Because your background in entomology would have put you more toward the plant protection and...
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
So we have an agronomist. The agronomist and the entomologist, we kind of work together.
Very closely.
But the same with the animal husbandry man, because he would come across problems with livestock, insect problems anyway, and that's where I would come in anyway and help him out.
Sure.
But in my entire 4 years, I did not dwell on, I didn't work, or I didn't use my entomology background all the time. I was working. I would work with the villagers, teaching them how to grow lettuce and pepper and all these things.
Which is really more agronomy.
Yeah, and but then this is, so this is like, and I have background in those too, so it works out.
I mean,
so
you're not ignorant. I mean, it's certainly coming from your father's farm when you were growing up as a little girl, even before you got to Los Baños.
Yeah. So it was, this is like, you know.
You could have taught a few classes.
So I was, in other words, there are four agriculturists in that team anyway.
Mm-hmm,
We have our own specialty, you know, field specialty. So,
with lots of overlap.
Yeah, oh, definitely. So, okay, from Laos, I went back to Los Baños and I worked there for 2 years, an entirely different field. I was in communication and I was in, I even had a radio station program anyway. I was with the Department of Agricultural Communication, and I, myself and some other people in the group would write brochures for farmers to take home regarding all aspects of agricultural, procedures anyway, like okay, one is insect control, the other one is how to raise pigs and how to raise, and this is part of what we do in the agricultural communication department. And the other one is we take care of the Los Baños only radio station.
You mean the campus radio station?
Yeah, the campus radio, DCLB. And I have a regular half an hour program there where I cater to problems of, people out in the barrio. They would send letters and then they would like to have the answers on the radio. And that's what I did. The other thing, this is part of an extension program in Laguna.
Yeah, anyway. No, I understand.
Okay.
Because I worked a little bit the same sort of thing in Zambales.
But
not a radio personality.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a fun thing.
Yeah.
It was like, it is. You go to the barrios and you're like a celebrity.
Signing autographs?
Yeah. Then we all ask her, where is Tita Chabeng? Tita Chabeng.
Tita Chabeng?
Yeah, that's my radio name anyway. So after the Department of Communication stint, which is 2 years, I applied. I was getting kind of, I was getting itchy feet and I wanted to go away again. And I heard of the international volunteer needing people at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I applied.
How did you hear?
Let me see. I can't remember. Well, as I said, I've met IBS people.
Yeah, you knew them.
Laos, yeah. I know. I think IBS would send their volunteers to Los Baños. for orientation.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah. Yes, they would.
And they were just across the...
Frank and Nancy went through that.
Yeah, they okay. were just across the hall from where we were, you know, from
of
my
course.
Office.
Yeah.
This was at the bottom, you know, on bottom of the library building in Los Baños, and we had our offices. And
they have a new library now.
Yeah. And they would have their orientation on the other
so
side.
So I don't know the old library.
Yeah. Well, this is the old library. And so when I heard about that, I said, oh, maybe I should, you know, I should apply. And I did apply, and that came through, and they asked me where I wanted to go, because at that time there were all these places where, you know, you could go. One was Africa, and of course Vietnam. And I said, well, I would like to go to Vietnam, and I did.
Yeah.
Willie Myers interviewed me.
Willie Myers?
Yeah.
I've heard his name.
Yeah, okay. He's married to a Filipina.
Okay.
So, from Los Baños, anyway. Mm-hmm. So I was sent to Vietnam, and with the agriculture team.
I'm going to put off the tape to ask you if you knew someone that I knew at Los Baños about the same time.
Okay, sure. You know, she said, oh, I would apply. I mean, do you think they'll get me? I said, well, you try. See,
so this Char Quinto
uh-huh.
was also in your program?
In a way, but she was in the office anyway.
Okay.
She was doing the analytics.
She saw the IVS people, and then she saw you, and you were going to apply.
Yeah.
So she said, I'm going to do that too.
Yeah. So she did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And went to Bangladesh.
She went to Bangladesh and met her husband there.
She met someone there?
Yeah.
Someone from Bangladesh?
Or
IBS?
He was with CARE, I think, at
with
that
CARE.
Time.
With CARE, okay.
Yeah.
All
An American guy.
An American, okay.
They're still married up to now. They are in Switzerland now.
Oh, how nice. Although a little cold. I think
yeah,
I prefer
yeah.
Honolulu.
Okay. But anyway.
Oh, and I was going to tell you that I notice behind you there's the rabbit hutch.
Yeah.
And one of my projects as a volunteer was drying conejo.
Oh.
Because I figured I'm going to turn this off again.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know,
oh, yeah.
My conejos would have died really quickly. So I knew I couldn't let them out. And I couldn't feed them properly when they were caged.
Yeah.
But I did write up some agriculture literature on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that other volunteers could try it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's hard to write in that style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I had some success with the English version, and then I got it translated to both Tagalog and Ilocano.
Ilocano, yeah.
So it was distributed a little bit. But it's a tough job. It's not an easy job.
Oh, gosh.
But anyway, I'm subtracting from your story, and time is running late.
Yeah.
So you get back, and you go to you wanted Vietnam instead of Laos?
Yeah.
Because you already had Laos experience.
Yeah, that's true.
How come?
Was it? I guess they. I'll take it back. I don't think they didn't give me a choice. They wanted me in Vietnam.
They wanted you in
yeah.
Vietnam. Okay.
Yeah, because I think it was because there was the person who was in, and they knew where they were going to put me in the lot. Mountain. You know, city anyway, where there
in Dalat, so in
Dalat.
A little south in the old.
Where this was in the highlands. This
yeah.
Dalat is in the highlands.
Uh-huh.
If you're familiar with the place, anyway.
Not personally, but
yeah,
I know where it is.
Yeah.
On. Yeah.
And that is Dalat is the vegetable. What do you call that? The vegetable center of South Vietnam at that
okay.
time.
Yeah, the Baguio of South Vietnam.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. The Baguio of South Vietnam, where, you know, the military and just about most of the, you know, the vegetables, phosphorus especially, are coming from anyway. I guess I didn't have an option. They asked me to go to Dalat anyway, and or
mm-hmm.
to Vietnam, and I said, yeah. And that was really, I didn't have any qualms about going to Vietnam, but my family did have qualms because there was war going on at that time. This was in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
I went, and I had a 1 month intensive, was it 1 month or intensive language training in Nha Trang, Nha Trang, and after that they sent me to Dalat, and I was the only volunteer out there.
The only one in Dalat?
Yeah, I was the only one in Dalat. I lived in the old IBS house there, which is next door to the house of Madame Yu, up in the lot, and across from me from is the police station.
Just
so
let me get the chronology right. This was in 68.
Yeah.
When exactly did you join?
In August.
August of 68 you joined, and
yeah,
then so 1 month of language.
Uh-huh.
But if this was Madame Nu?
Yeah.
That you live near?
Well, she wasn't there anymore.
Because her husband was killed in 65.
Yeah, yeah. And her house was trashed. I mean, but this was, so I was just saying that,
because she would have been off in France, maybe.
Yeah,
or
she was
like
gone. She was
okay,
gone.
Okay,
all she
right.
Was gone.
This is the infamous Madame Nu.
Yeah.
Oh, just to find someone who was neighbors and who maybe went over to the house and borrowed sugar or something like that would have been wonderful.
I have been to her house, but it was, nobody was staying there.
Nobody was, and you say it was trashed.
Yeah, it was, yeah. The glass is broken. Nobody was living in that house anyway.
Okay.
But it was a nice, you know, summer home. It
yeah.
was a summer home. Which would tell you that I was living in a very nice, fancy home too.
Yeah,
it was a
yeah.
chalet with a fireplace, and it was
and
nice.
And IBS paid for everything?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, anyway, so I was, everybody was teasing me about, oh, you're not a volunteer, you're doing your R&R here.
Because it's a little hilly, and
yeah.
you know, so cooler.
And
cool. You're in a chalet.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was really nice. I had my great experience over there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Him living in a nice house and being in a nice place. So, okay.
But what did you do there?
My work as a volunteer is something like this. They made, or IBS, made arrangement with the agriculture department in Saigon that I would be with the this research center in Dalat, and they do have a research center there.
Uh-huh.
And so what happened was it's like I would come into the center every day, and I had I had an option of doing extension work or do experiments in the center.
Ah, so either research or extension.
Yeah, I did both.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the 2 years I was there, I was involved in, well, I did a couple of pesticide experiments anyway, where I was able to get new insecticides from, you know, from companies like Ciba, Geigy, and Velsicol, and I experimented on these pesticides with whatever available pesticides the farmers are using there, so I could see which one is better and which one I could recommend to farmers, because at that time they were having problems with insect resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were really looking into finding a new insecticide that could help them anyway, help these farmers. And so that was quite hot at that time. They were going through some kind of a crisis, and so it was like I would have these experiments going, and I have my collaborators or cooperators, farmer cooperators, on, you know, from the villages, and I would bring them in to see, you know, the experiments, and they could tell, I mean, the experiment there, right there, could tell them you know, what is really going on. Just, you know, seeing all the plots, the control plots, and all these plots with the different kind of pesticides.
A real demonstration.
Yeah, it was, you know, a demonstration. These are demonstration plots.
So you had many farmers coming in.
Yeah.
Because you were also going out there to recruit
yes,
them.
Yes, yes, yeah. Okay. So it was not like, you know, I was just doing research on mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
And not, so it was a very good setup. And for 2 years, that's what I did. But that's not, that was not the only thing that I did. I, there were other things that I've done with, which is actually doing the experiment in a farmer cooperator's field.
Mm-hmm.
Which
well, that's
is,
the next step.
Yeah, which is sometimes even better because the farmer himself was the one doing the work, and he could tell his...
He'd be the propagandist,
yeah.
And he would know all of his
yeah.
friends. And yeah.
His neighboring farmers would come in and see what was happening.
On their own time.
Yeah, yeah. On their own, and outside of my, you know, I don't have to see these things up anyway. And so that was the, you know, what I did those 2 years.
Yeah.
The only problem I encountered doing that was that these pesticides that we have, that I use, were not easily available. Some of them they have to buy from Thailand, or you know, and so it was a real problem. And although I've mentioned this to the directorate, you know, in Saigon, because I used to go